Our final presenter is Mr. Mbombina, and he's going to tell us more about calibration with the APEX model.
Thank you. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit, talk about hydrologic modeling. This ET session was very informative because ET is one of the main components of hydrologic modeling. So the topic of my presentation today is improved calibration of APEX model for a small watershed and a no-till system. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Sagam Gautam, Living Lai, Sandeep Kumar, and James Bonta. So in this talk, I'll introduce the APEX model and discuss calibration method, describe the study area where this model was applied, present my results, and conclude my talk. So the APEX model is a process-based hydrologic model that was developed by the Texas A&M with the USDA. It's used to simulate the pollutant transport in surface and shallow subsurface water. And it's very used for land management simulations, climate impact simulation. And in addition to that, it has a component of economics, so you can attach the dollar amount to your simulation to evaluate the cost of practices. For instance, if you want to implement practices to improve the water quality. So it's mainly applicable into small size watersheds. So this model uses inputs from available databases of, for instance, land topography, soil databases available, land use, and then you overlay agricultural management or grazing to see the impact of these practices. So the APEX model is a highly parameterized model, so it needs proper calibration and validation to be applicable. It doesn't have an inbuilt tool to calibrate this model. Either you use manual calibration, also known as try and error method, or use an external automated calibration tool. So the calibration, of course, requires a measured data set for the process you want to calibrate. And in my experience, before you calibrate, many people do a mistake of not checking the input data, because input data is if it has flows, you might think the model is not trying to capture the process while the error is in input data. For instance, if you're trying to check whether you have a good precipitation data, you can make a graphical comparison between your runoff, if you have a small watershed, to see whether anytime you have a rainfall event, you have a response of runoff. So it's very important before trying to calibrate the model. So the objective of this research was to compare the trial and error method and an automated calibration tool called parameter estimation tool. This tool was developed by Doherty from Australia, but he was working as a research scientist at the University of Idaho. And we applied this model to runoff from an no-till land, which was seeded with corn, soybean, and rye as a cover crop from 2000 to 2005. And from 2006 to 2011, the land was seeded with continuous corn. So this is a map of the watershed where we applied this model. So it's a Northern Appalachian Experimental Watershed in Ohio. I can see the Ohio map here. So this area is one of the longest monitored sites in the USA. It has some data set that were measured since the 40s. So this is one watershed we obtained data from the USDA. So you can see on this picture, this is the watershed And this is the house where they collect runoff and water quality. So we got the data set from the USDA by Martin Cipitalo. And the watershed we used has an area of 0.79 hectare. So this is a topographic map showing where the water flows to the monitoring station here at the outlet of the watershed. So the first step was, of course, to define the geometric properties of our watershed into the model. And because we have a topo map, it was easy to get the slope, the elevation, and the reach and channel length, even though because it was a small watershed, we didn't have channels per se. We also have field measurement of soil properties. The land use and land cover is those two cropping system I mentioned. There's a weather station to get that measured precipitation and T-max and T-min. And the next step was to define a governing equation. The model has different choices. For instance, for to partition runoff and infiltration, you have curve number method, you have a green and amped. You have rational method to determine peak runoff rate. You have different method for ET, for instance, Penman, Montes, Hargreaves, and Cristatella method. But we use Hargreaves because Penman and Montes requires a lot of input data we didn't have for like wind direction and other parameters, because the weather station only measured T-max and precipitation. So with Hargreaves, which is a simple simple method you can use with solar radiation and temperature to estimate and ET, but it requires local calibration to have a good estimation of ET. And our modeling or simulation was on daily time step, and we did calibration. We divide the model into two periods, the corn, soybean, rye. The calibration, we used data from 2000 to 2003. The validation, it was 2004 to 2005. The corn, continuous corn, was 2006 to 2009, where the validation was to 2010 to 2011. So the next step was to compare the two calibration method. The first method is try and error calibration. So with this method, the first step is to define the model evaluation criteria. The two main criteria used in hydrologic modeling by many researchers is the coefficient of determination and Nash-Sutcliffe efficiency. And the previous researcher stated that when you have this coefficient above 0.5, you can say that the simulation is satisfactory. And the next step was to identify parameters where the process you are modeling is sensitive to. For instance, for runoff, you have parameters related to ET and the curve number method. And then the next step is to make small increment and reduction to try to adjust the parameters in their range to see whether you can have R-squared and NSE above 0.5 as possible. So this process is time-consuming because for a highly parameterized model, sometimes you can even miss the best fit parameters by making a larger increment or small increment, or you can you don't know whether you decide to go back to the original value of the parameter before you adjust another parameter. So it's a kind of confusing method if you're not an experienced modeler. So the next step we did use the PEST tool. So this tool has, it uses inversion approach where it has an optimization algorithm that compares measure data and simulate data and try to minimize the sum of squared residuals by adjusting parameters and then comparing the output with measured data. So this tool works for any model which has a construct where you have a folder with input files, executable, and output files that can be opened as a, with a text as a text file. So what it does, you just put the range of your parameters you want to calibrate. You indicate the input files where they are located, and then also indicate where the measures data in the file where they are located, so that you can compare the output with the simulation. So it does iteration, many iteration, varying those parameters until the sum of square residuals is small. And usually you have to also to define the objective function. The objective function is to get NAC and R square closer to 1. So it iterates until it cannot improve the NAC and R square, and then it stops. So the result we obtain by comparing this method, so the trial and error for the calibration period. So this A is calibration period, this validation period, and this for corn, soybean, rye system. So the trial and error, we got a square of 0.65 and then a C of 0.57. The pest was a little bit higher, closer to 1.82. And for the validation period, also can see that the trial error, we tried to be, we tried, but the NAC was a little bit below than 0.5, but the pest performed better for this period. When you look at the comparison between try and error method, measured data in red, and pest apex coupling, you can see that both methods, at some peaks, they missed the peaks. For instance, try and error, you can see here, over-predicted runoff. In other instances, we have pest calibration where it underestimated the runoff. And this was, we also divided the period into growth period and entire year to see where the model captures the process. So this discrepancy it can be originate from maybe the model cannot capture the natural system, or it can be the error from input data. So, but you can the main goal is here is that pest performance was better than the trial error. So for the continuous corn period. Also, the trial and error, we couldn't reach above 0.5. Pest, we managed to get 0.7, almost 0.7 for pest. And when we now validated, we realized the trial and error method was a little bit higher than pest method. So this shows that sometime with calibration with the automation tool, you can just push the model to get R squared and see and miss the natural system. So this was for the continuous corn period. So we also compared the growth period and the entire year. As you can see, for the entire year, we had a little bit of reduction in these statistical criteria, and we realized maybe our model doesn't capture the winter very well. This could be attributed to a difficulty in measuring weather data during the winter. Measuring snow is different from measuring precipitation. There's a lot of errors also, or we can also maybe the process doesn't capture the winter process very well compared to the growth period. So to conclude, I'll say the pest improved calibration. Of course, it reduced calibration time considerably for this small no-till watershed in this study. The better calibration was achieved for a growth period compared to the entire year because of inaccuracies in measurement during the winter period or the model which cannot capture the process during cold winters. So thank you. I would like to acknowledge the USDRS that provided hydrology data for this work, and a funding by USDA and IFA. So thank you. I'm open for the questions. Yes. So for the try and error method, first of all, you don't even have an idea how many parameters to start with. So you start with curve number, you adjust, and then try another one. So for the try and error, we only calibrated four parameters, mostly curve number, hard grievous exponent, and so Hargreaves coefficients and exponent. So these are the main for the try and error. But PEST did the sensitivity analysis and identified 12 parameters that related to runoff, even though those that were in try and error were included. So that's how. Of course, with the try and error method, it can depend on the individual. You can do 100, you can do 4. But this showed that with 4, we managed to get some closer values, and this used 12 parameters. But those 4 were included in those 12 that PEST used to get to the answer. Yeah. Yes?
If I remember correctly, the Shapton site has some pretty nice runoff plot data.
Can you repeat the question?
Did you look at runoff versus predicted runoff?
Runoff versus predicted runoff. So you mean the simulated runoff versus measured runoff? You mean these ones, right? These are my simulation for this particular small watershed. So, of course, as you can see, we captured the trends. We have a small discrepancies here, but they're not too large. Did I answer your question? Or?
Yeah, I thought there was some plot-specific data, but I could be wrong, some smaller-scale runoff data. But I may have a mix-up.
Yes, there's many plots actually in the Coshocton experimental area. This was 113. It was one small watershed into the big. There are many. Yes. Yeah. This one. One of them. Thank you. Yep. For clarification. Yes.
Do you remember the watch button they jump to the water market on TV in the application? Like, just showing you the runoff.
I think my first guess was around 40% of it was ET. Yep. So oh, 70 to 80%. So for the both growth, like corn, soybean. Oh, sorry, I missed. I think,
Any other questions? Thank you very much.